Papal Royal. Papal is royal.
It's all about royalty.
The trans people are that royal.
Remember, we are loyal.
Nothing for us without us.
This is about us.
Love us just the way we are.
This is who we are.
We love who we are.
This is the time to speak.
This is the time to be heard.
Time for trans people to be heard.
This is Papal Royal.
Hi, welcome to another episode of the Papal Royal podcast. I'm your host, Tanag. Now, on this platform, we amplify transgender voices by sharing personal, intriguing, and inspiring real life experiences by the transgender community in Zimbabwe. In this edition, we share a story from T, a gender non-conforming person who stays in the rural areas of the central part of Zimbabwe, the Midlands. T shares their story of how their parents passed away when T was still 5 years of age. After the tragedy, T had to move in with grandmother, and that's when her journey of developing into who T is now started. Now, T narrates how they were chased from home by grandma, with family members supporting the idea of T being let go, and ended up staying in the streets. Listen to T narrating.
My name is T, a gender non-confirming person from Mapanzure, a rural village in Shabane, Zimbabwe. My life was not like this before, but reality struck after my parents died. Indeed, I had always looked different, and it showed. Despite this, my parents were supportive and tried to protect me. Upon their passing, at the age of 5, I had to be taken in by my grandmother, a once caring guardian whom I never thought that the moment I reached 13, the hatred she had harbored because of my gender identity would become that evident. Grandmother started physically, emotionally, spiritually, and verbally abusing me. Some days she would take the jamboko, a whip we used on our cows when we were herding them, and she would beat me with it, trying to correct me and make me normal, as she said. To make it worse, the family would delight in this abuse, further spreading the word of what was being done to me, even at school, where I would be mocked and laughed at by my peers the next day. Some days, I went without food. Again, a method she used to try and make me change. When I was born this way, and there was nothing I could do about it. One fateful day, after coming from church, a Pentecostal church she disliked and even blamed for making me act feminine, I arrived home to find my belongings thrown in the mud as grandmother shouted, "There's no home for you here anymore. I do not like your character, and you can go and find another grandmother, not me." Grandmother often said that she is my absolute. Dini mari wako kutanga, meaning she saw herself as my earth god or messiah. And if I failed to change or do what she wants, I would be punished for it. Unfortunately, on this particular day, the punishment was total eviction. And being chased away from a place I had called home since becoming an orphan. I had no one I could contact to help me. Just a 16-year-old waiting for my O-level results, needing a home, but no one to help. I could not go to other family members, even my brother, as they too had planned with my grandmother to chase me away. I could not go to the church, as the church members would also stigmatize me publicly for my gender identity and femininity. The only option left was to go to the streets. It was at 3 p.m. I remember grabbing my belongings, tears welling up, and walking 30 kilometers to the local growth point with shops. I had no money, so the only option was to walk. Upon arriving, I tried scanning the area to see if there was anyone I could approach for help. No help came until I had no option but to wait for a local supermarket to close, so I could sleep by one of their sheds in the cold with no blankets. I was so afraid and kept praying for my safety. This is an area that I could have been vandalized, mugged, or worse, and kept looking over my shoulder, such that it was even difficult to sleep. The next day, now hungry, I didn't know what to do. I was afraid to ask people for money, worse, fearing to be stigmatized or publicly humiliated because of my gender expression upon reaching them. I started walking around, looking for leftover food on the street or in bins. As I was still searching, I came across Tawanda, a fellow 16-year-old who also lived on the streets. As he was scanning for leftover food in the nearby garbage bin, this was my ray of hope. I approached Tawanda and thought he could help me adapt to life on the streets. Tawanda was a kind person. He made me feel welcome that I could tell him my story and the reason I had become homeless. With a good heart, not judging me for my gender identity, actually sympathizing with me, Tawanda decided to take me where other homeless people camp in the streets, 500 meters away on the outskirts of Shabane town. We arrived at a place that had a couple of tents made out of black plastic, sticks and tires. I met other people living on the street and realized that the homeless community has clusters with a ringleader. Tawanda's cluster was led by Tom, older than the rest of us, feared and even claimed to be well connected. Everyone was forced to play by Tom's rules. It almost felt like we were his servants. Needless to say, I had no home, so no option but to adapt. Upon Tawanda presenting me to Tom and explaining my story, I immediately saw the hatred towards me. Tom even threatened to report my gender identity to the police. As in Zimbabwe, the LGBTI persons like myself are criminalized. What made Tom refrain from reporting was for his sole benefit. He had just gained an additional servant to push around, look for food, and do his very well without objection. The situation got worse as Tom even tried influencing other members to abuse me and stigmatize me, Tawanda, though, remained loyal and kind towards me. A few days later, after adapting to this lifestyle and eating garbage leftover food, I fell gravely ill. Maybe it was food I was not used to eat, and some of it would have gone bad or contaminated since we picked it up from among the garbage. My stomach hurt, my head ached, I was feeling weak and vomiting. I tried telling Tom, our ringleader, hoping he would help, but instead he shouted at me, saying I was faking it and I was inconvincing him, further threatening me with a police arrest if I did not continue to do his errands like the others. I was unfit to work. I felt so weak, but I was also afraid of Tom's threats, especially reporting my gender identity to the police. The illness got worse to a point I became bedridden, and during this time, my only source of help was Tawanda. He would go to look for food for me, even medication. Sometimes he would even feed me as I was too weak to sit up. Tawanda was also afraid of Tom, and often he would try to help me in private without Tom knowing, as the ringleader had made it clear that he didn't want me to get any help. Eventually, I got better, thanks to Tawanda. And as time passed, I managed to sell my phone, something I had been reluctant to do, but this became my opportunity to leave the streets and relocate to Harare. My story is indeed emotional. For a moment, I did not know how I was going to survive, but because of Tawanda, a kind person I will never forget, living on the streets for me, a trans person, became bearable. In conclusion, I wish there were many Tawandas. I wish there were many people who would help the trans and intersex community. I wish we had more people who saw us as important as any human being.
You know, it's very sad how family members in some cases perpetrate hatred against the trans and intersex persons. A family is supposed to be a safe space where one is able to fully express themselves without feeling inferior. However, that's not always the case when one is a trans person or an LGBTIQ+ individual. Now, this homelessness of a transgender person is not only peculiar to Zimbabwe. According to Texas Homeless Network, 1 in 3 transgender people in the United States have experienced homelessness. This is the case, if not worse, especially in countries that have systems that oppress or don't recognize the existence of trans and intersex community, African countries being chief among them. Now, recent point in time data revealed some terrible disparities in gender identity and housing, where at least 63% of transgender people and 80% of non-binary people experienced homelessness were unsheltered. Now, these numbers are high for a lot of reasons, and all of them are related to discrimination. In Zimbabwe, homelessness of trans and intersex persons is high, and often unrecorded or undocumented, for fear of public stigma, further alienation in threat of criminalization. Now, given that trans and intersex persons are not directly addressed and protected within the country's constitution, the plight that community members face continues. This is the reason we decided to document a lived reality from a gender non-conforming person from a rural village to narrate their story. Growing up stigmatized and often ultimately evicted from their home and left with no choice but to seek shelter living on the streets. This is a story that many trans people can relate to. Now, in Zimbabwe, we have transgender persons who were also forced to leave home, and some even started venturing into sex work in order to make ends meet. However, these ventures are still risky for the transgender persons, as they also face violence and stigma from their clients. This all calls for more efforts in ensuring the well-being of the trans community is catered for by various stakeholders. And on that note, we would like to give a special mention to the other foundation, PEPFAR, Frida Fund, Children's Radio Foundation, Transmart Trust, and the Edwick Foundation for their continued and unwavering support for the production of the Paper Royal podcast. If you are an NGO, corporate, or philanthropist, we encourage you to get in touch and reach out to us. Don't forget to follow us and contact us on our social media platforms, on Facebook and on Instagram. We are at Paper Royal Podcast. I'm your host, Tanak. Thank you for listening and sharing this podcast with your networks. Looking forward to the next episode. Until then, continue to take care.